pray for us today. Psalm 67, as we begin to study together. Let's pray. May God be gracious to us and bless us, and make his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known in all the earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity, and you guide the nations upon earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. God, we pray for your word today to penetrate our heart for the name of Jesus among all the earth. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, it's good to see you. We are finishing up today our last week in our series, Align. And we have a lot to do today, so we're just going to just jump in, dive right in. Acts chapter 10. You can turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 10. We have been journeying through the book of Acts. Why? Well, because the book of Acts shows us the very beginning of the church that Christ had set in motion some 2,000 years ago. It shows us what true obedience to the will of Jesus really looks like in the context of a church. And it shows us what our lives should look like. We should align our lives to what God wants for us. We shouldn't expect him just to bless us and however we want to live. So we are seeking to align ourselves to him. And we've been walking through these four pillars: love, liberate, lead, and launch. And we've been unpacking each of these in the book of Acts. And today we're going to be on our last pillar, launch, which signifies kind of a launching pad, right? I used to jump on a trampoline. Anybody ever have a trampoline as a kid?
Yes.
Yeah. So sometimes I love to jump. My sister had this little playhouse, and I like ruined her playhouse because I drugged the little playhouse up next to the trampoline. I would climb up on the roof, and then I'd jump off the roof of her like dollhouse to like, you know, get a head start on the trampoline. It was awesome. But that thing would, her roof eventually caved in and she hated my guts. But whatever. But anyway, that thing truly was a launching pad. Trampolines, right? Because you jump on it, boom, it just kind of launches you out. God wants the same thing for us as Christians. He wants for this church to be like a trampoline, like a launching pad, like a, you know, to be able to send people. We don't just exist here for Memphis. We do exist for Memphis, and we love our city. We love downtown and Midtown. We love Mud Island, and we're going to serve people here. Yesterday, we were up at Fraser giving out food. We want to bless our city. But we have a mindset that's not only about Memphis. We want to see people here know him, but we also want to see people in other parts of our country know him and in other parts of our world know him. We are a global church. We are always meant to be sending people out. It's not just about here. It's about the nations. We want everyone, everywhere, to know about the greatness of God. I mean, our joy in him is so real and so deep that we can't imagine anybody not having the opportunity to know God as we know God, right? I mean, can you even imagine? So we love to send people. That's the idea behind this launch thing. And let me just tell you, it is easy. I know the lives you live because I live the same kind of life. It is easy to get so wrapped up in this, my little world. Everything that I've got going on, all my dreams, all my hopes, all my ambitions, all my work, all my responsibilities, all my family, all my. You get so wrapped up in your little world that you think this world is all about you. And it is so easy to just get boxed into your little sphere of life and forget that there's a bigger picture here going on. God is bringing praise to his name from all nations. And if you miss it, you will waste your life. Beyond the comfort zone of so many of us, the Holy Spirit is at work to prepare the hearts of those who are ready to hear the gospel. And the Holy Spirit is at work to prepare the hearts of those who will go to declare the gospel. And I pray this morning that you will not miss the work of God in this world. He is actively bringing people to know him, and he is actively sending people to tell about him. And if you miss this, If you miss this worldwide movement of praise, you miss it all. Don't get so wrapped up in yourself that you forget the glory of God in this world. Amen? Your life is meant for more than your little bubble. We are about the movement of praise to Jesus all over this world. That's what we're going to be looking at today. As we go to the text, Acts chapter 10. Everybody turn there. If Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Yeah, right after John. Acts chapter 10. We have been looking at so far. Jesus has been raised from the dead. He has ascended into heaven. Hundreds of people had witnessed this. He gave the command to the disciples. What? You will be my witnesses when my Spirit comes upon you in power. And you will be my witnesses to Jerusalem. See, they were sitting in Jerusalem, right? Kind of like we're sitting in Memphis. You will be my witnesses here. Yes. You will be my witnesses in Judea, which is like the surrounding area, Cordova, Collierville, right? You will be my witnesses in Samaria, a little bit further out. And you will be my witnesses to the othermost parts of the earth. And we have seen the gospel movement begin. The Spirit of God came upon those early believers, filled them with power, filled them with His presence. They began to declare the good news that if you trust Jesus, God will forgive your sins. He will make you new. He will set you on the right course in life, return you to the way things should be, and He will recreate you into His image. Just by trusting Jesus, they begin to declare this in Jerusalem. And in Judea and Samaria. And now 10 years has passed. And they have not moved outside of their immediate context. And God's going to show us today how He begins a work. He intervenes. And He begins a work to prepare the hearts of people outside of the Jewish people to hear the gospel. And He begins a work inside the hearts of the Jewish people to go share the gospel. And this is the glorious thing that we call missions. And here it begins. Acts chapter 10. I love this chapter. If y'all don't know this already, I love missions. Okay? So this is just a little disclaimer. I get super excited about it. I get super emotional about it. My heart longs for people to know Jesus everywhere. So I'm going to be excited about this, and I hope you're excited about this. Acts chapter 10 is the start of one of the greatest things that's ever happened in the world. Are you excited? Come on. Are you excited?
Yes.
Yes. All right, let's go. At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion of what was known as the Italian cohort, a devout man who feared God with all of his household. He gave alms generously to the people and prayed continually to God. About the 9th hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God come in and say to him, Cornelius. And he stared at him in terror and he said, what is it, Lord? And he said to him, your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and bring one Simon who was called Peter. He is lodging with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. When the angel who spoke to him had departed, he called two of his servants and a devout soldier from among those who attended him. And having related everything to them, he sent them to Joppa. The first principle I want to show you today is this. God is preparing people from every nation with a hunger to hear about God. God is preparing people right now as we speak. The Holy Spirit is at work in the hearts of people. Not only here in Memphis, not only in Cordova and in Collierville, not only in the United States, but He is at work in the hearts of people all over this world. And what is He doing? He is preparing them to hear about the good news of Jesus. See, what do you have here? Cornelius. We're going to name our first son Cornelius, right? Don't tell Michelle I said that. She's in nursery today, so I can say things like that. So we'll just let it fly. But I really do want to name our first son Cornelius. I think it's awesome. Anyway, hopefully nobody here has named that. Cornelius. Cornelius is not a Jewish guy. He's living in Caesarea. He's a part of the Roman army. Caesarea is about 60 miles or so from Jerusalem. It's about 30 miles or so from Joppa, where Peter is going to be. And what's happening here with Cornelius? What do we see? God is doing something in Cornelius' life, right? Cornelius has never had the opportunity to have anyone talk to him about Jesus. He's far away from Jerusalem, and the disciples haven't made it outside of their little context yet. It's been 10 years. And here's a guy removed from their context. And what is happening to him? What's happening in his life? What's happening in his heart? God is preparing him. God is drawing him. God is giving him a hunger and a thirst to know more about him. You see, we have to understand, y'all, that God has a heart for all people. Do you know this? The Bible says that God is not willing that anyone should perish. He wants all people to come to eternal life. And y'all, this means more than just you. I know that we like to think about sometimes, oh God, thank you for saving me. Thank you that you love me. Thank you for doing so much for me. But y'all, God has the same desire for other people too that he has for you. Everything that you experience, God wants others to experience it too. Isn't that awesome? And he has a heart for all people in all nations. Let me just read you some scriptures. This has been, y'all, from the very beginning, right? With Abraham. You remember the call of Abraham? From the very beginning. You can even go back to creation when God said to Adam and Eve, go and multiply yourself. Reproduce my image, essentially, is what God wanted. He has always wanted for his image, for his person to be known in all nations. With Abraham, why did he call Abraham out? He says, I want to make you a father of a great nation, so that what? You may be a blessing to others. You may be a blessing, a light to the world, so that all of the world may know me. Joshua 4:24, and all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. David commanded in Psalm 96, 1-3, sing to the Lord, all the earth, declare his glory among all nations. Isaiah 49:6, I will give you as a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach the ends of the earth. Jesus says in Matthew 28:19, what does he say? Go make disciples of what? Of what? All nations. Mark 13:10, anybody know it? The gospel must be preached in all nations. Revelation 5:9 to 10, the picture of heaven that we have. What does it say? Worthy are you, Lord, to take the scroll and open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed men from all the nations, from every tribe, every tongue, every people, every nation. Look, God has a heart for all nations. He does. The question is, do you have a heart? We see with Cornelius, God has a heart for Cornelius. He has a heart for people outside of just the immediate context of the Jewish people. He wants people to be reached with the gospel. And he begins a work in Cornelius before Peter ever thought about going. Why? Because God cares that people know him. Do you have the heart of God? I pray that you do. Not only does God have a heart for all people, but he is doing this. The Spirit of God is leading many people on a path to know the true God. Cornelius is actively seeking God. Do y'all see this in the passage? What is he doing? Look at it in verse 2. He's a devout man. He's fearing God. He's giving alms. He's praying continually to God. Look, God is giving Cornelius a heart to know him, right? This doesn't just come out of nowhere. God wants Cornelius to know him. And the Spirit of God is leading Cornelius to begin to seek him. Now, Cornelius does not know God. We're going to see this a little bit later. He does not know God at all. Because Peter has to come and tell him about how to know God. And the Holy Spirit is given to Cornelius at that moment. At this point, Cornelius does not know God. But what is he doing? He sure is seeking. And when somebody starts seeking God, who can we thank? God. Because all we black sheep have gone astray. Each of us have turned to our own way. There is no one who seeks God apart from the Holy Spirit of God. Look, y'all, I have traveled overseas a lot. You go to places like India. Brandon and Jessica just went there this past summer. The River Ganges. There's a reason that people go down to that river, throw their babies in it to die. There's a reason they go down and try to scrub themselves until almost they're a bloody mess. Because they're trying to be right with God. There's a sense in them that something is wrong and they're trying to be right with God. When I was in Africa, West Africa, there's a reason that the friends who I had there in West Africa every year go and kill hundreds of sheep and try to sacrifice them to the unknown gods. Why were they doing that? God is giving them a sense that He's real and that they need Him. There's a reason that in Muslim cultures, all that washing and all that stuff that they do over and over and over, trying to bring cleansing, people are seeking God. And that's the work of God. There are many of you who at some point in your life, maybe even now, you find this in you that you want God. You don't know Him yet, and you are seeking to know God. Let me just encourage you. That is the Spirit of God in you. There's no other reason to explain that. You wouldn't seek God on your own. That is the Spirit of God in you. Praise God that He does this in people, in all nations. And then finally, we see this. The Spirit of God is preparing people to hear about Jesus. Look, He's setting up divine encounters. You know, like the right place at the right time? What does God come in and say to Cornelius here? Oh, this makes me so excited, y'all. Look at He's coming in. He sends an angel to talk to Cornelius. And he says, Cornelius, your prayers, look at verse 4. Your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and bring one to Simon, which is called Peter. Look, God is coming in and saying, Cornelius, right? I'm going to move you over here. And I'm going to move Peter over here. And I'm going to set up this divine encounter for you to be able to hear about me. Isn't that awesome? Do you believe that God can do that?
Yes.
I believe that with all of my heart. Look, we showed up in West Africa, I remember, right after I graduated. There were people, almost before we could ever get our bags unpacked, who were sitting at our doorstep going, why are you here? Can we be friends with you? And we're like, yeah. Right? God had moved them to a certain point and had moved us to a certain point, and there's no coincidence that our paths intersected. God is doing that with people all of the time. We hear reports right now in Islamic countries. Y'all hear about the dreams and visions that Muslim people are having about Jesus? Have y'all ever heard of this? Let me just tell you, this is a very real thing. I've never experienced a dream and a vision of Jesus Christ, but there are many people right now in Islamic countries especially who are receiving revelations from God about Jesus. And they tell in these revelations, some being in white that's over and over described as a being in white tells them that they need to go find out about Jesus, or that someone is coming to talk to them about Jesus. And then all of a sudden, every account I've ever heard, after the vision, guess what happens? They intersect a missionary. Somebody tells them about Jesus, and now God has prepared them. They receive the gospel with gladness because they know that God has already spoken to them, that this messenger has what they need to hear. The right place at the right time. Guess who's doing that? Not you. I didn't give nobody a vision. God does that. Why? Because God wants people to know about Jesus. Before you ever want anybody to know about Jesus, God wants it 10 million, trillion, billion times more than you do. His heart longs for people to know Jesus from every place in the world. Don't you see it? God is working. Glenn, when you go to Tanzania this next year, God's already been doing this before you ever get there. Kristen, when you go to Pakistan, when you step off the plane, God is preparing people for you to hear the news of Jesus. be amazed at how awesome God is, that he wants all people to know him. Well, I got to move on. Yeah, I get so excited. All right, let's keep going. Verse 9. The next day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the housetop about the sixth hour to pray. And he became hungry, and he wanted something to eat. But while they were preparing it, he fell into a trance. And he saw the heavens opened, and something like a great sheet descending, being let down by its four corners upon the earth. In it were all kinds of animals and reptiles and birds of the air. And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "By no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." And the voice came to him a second time, "What God has made clean, do not call common." This happened three times, and the thing was taken up at once into heaven. Now while Peter was inwardly perplexed as to what the vision that he had seen might mean, behold, the men who were sent by Cornelius, having made inquiry for Simon's house, stood at the gate. And they called out and they asked where Simon was, called Peter, who was lodging there. And while Peter was pondering the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Behold, these three men are looking for you. Rise and go down to accompany them without hesitation, for I have sent them." And Peter went down to the men and said, "I am the one you're looking for. What is the reason for your coming?" And they said, "Cornelius, a centurion, an upright and God-fearing man who was well spoken of by the whole Jewish nation, was directed by a holy angel to send for you and to come to his house and hear what you have to say." So he invited them in to be his guests. Look here. God not only is preparing the hearts of those in the nations to hear, but guess what else he's doing? He is preparing people, Christians, those who know him, with a willingness to go to the nations to tell the gospel of Jesus. Not only is he at work in the hearts of people who have never heard but want to hear, he's at work in the hearts of people who have heard, and he's bringing about a willingness in their hearts. He is moving into the hearts of believers, people like you and people like me, who will say, "Yes, God, I will go." How do we see this in Peter's life? First, we see that God is preparing those who are seeking him. Peter was doing what when God came to him? What was he doing? Verse 9 says he was already up on the top of the house doing what? He was up there to pray. I hope prayer is an integral part of your life. More than 10 minutes in the morning, 5 minutes at night. Peter's up there in the middle of the day, just giving time to God. Let me tell you, when you give time to God, when your heart wants to know God, guess what God does? He shows up because he wants you to know more of him too. When you give time to know God, he gives time to show you himself. Isn't that awesome? Anyway, I'm telling you, people who get sent, they're people who spend time with God. Because it takes surrender. It takes surrender. A life of surrender. To be able to move outside of yourself to care about somebody else. That's the work of God. And you've got to give time to God time to do that in you. God prepares those who are seeking him. Not only that, but God also prepares those who will accept that God does not favor them above others, but loves everyone just as much as he does. Look, what was the vision that God gave Peter? A big sheet, right? I mean, can you imagine this? You're sitting outside, you're praying, you fall into this kind of trance-like state where God has captivated your attention, and all of a sudden you see a sheet coming down out of heaven, probably held up by like four ropes on the sides. It's being lowered down, and inside the sheet are all these different kinds of animals. Right? Now, to a Jewish person, this is a lot bigger deal than it is to us. Why? Because inside this sheet are animals that are deemed clean, and animals that are deemed unclean. See, God in Leviticus chapter 11 has set up laws to make sure that the nation of Israel was holy unto the Lord, that they didn't partake of the sinfulness and the grossness of those who were around them that didn't fear the Lord, who we call, anybody know? Gentiles. I'm a Gentile. I don't know about you. You a Gentile? I'm a Gentile. You're a Jew? That's cool.
True Jew.
You're a true Jew. Well, that's cool. I'm a Gentile. Anyway, I'm a mess. But in this sheet were represented animals that were both clean and unclean, right? The Jewish people were such a had become such a proud people because they were the nation that knew the Lord. And they had the laws of the Lord, and they were keeping the laws of the Lord, that they became totally ethnocentric. It was all about us. And they had lost sight of God's desire, even though they were to be separate from the nations. God had always wanted the nations to know Him. Had always wanted that. And they had lost sight of it. And so here comes this bag, this sheet, filled with all these clean and unclean animals. And what does Peter say? No, Lord, I've never touched anything common. I'm separate from the mess. I don't want to have anything to do with all that mess. Right? And then what does God say here? In verse 15. Well, he says to Peter, rise, kill, and eat. And that's when Peter rejects it. And then he says, what God has made clean, do not call what? Common. See, God is giving Peter a vision of what's happening to the church. No longer are there Jew and Gentile, all of these walls of hostility, and all of this racism, and all of this pride and mess, prejudice. No. God is creating in the church a new kind of community. Right? It's no longer defined by ethnic background or race. It is defined by what the Spirit of God does in somebody's life. And you can be a mess, you can be clean, no matter what your background is, where you're from. If you have the work of God in your life, you're a part now. You are a part of this new community. And God's showing this to Peter. He has to show him how many times? One, two, three times before Peter gets it. Peter is good at denial. He's good at trying to tell Jesus no, right? Remember when Jesus says, I'm going to go to the cross? He says, no, you're not. I mean, and then he has to get the smack down from Jesus, you know? It's like, come on, man. Jesus didn't really smack down. But he brought repentance in Peter's heart. Amen. The same thing's happening here. One, two, three. Poor Peter, three times again. I mean, you know. Anyway. God is breaking into his world to show him what? To show him that you can't live in this kind of partiality anymore where you think that you're better than other people. Where you think, oh man, because I'm American, my life has more value than those stupid whatever in that other country. You know, we watch the news sometimes and I wonder why we get so upset when terrorism happens here in America. And it happens overseas and we don't get near as upset. Why? I wonder if sometimes it's because we think there's less value in the lives that are lost over there because they're not our people. Now, I don't know that. I'm just saying that we've got to be careful to remember that God values every soul equally. Amen. There is no soul that's less than another soul. If you're black, if you're Asian, if you're white, if you're Indian, you are the same because God has made you in His image and He wants to know you and you are as valuable to Him as anybody else in the world. You got to see people as God sees people. No longer any room for all this prejudice mess. I'm telling you, I've heard in my lifetime, when I surrendered my life to the Lord and I began to contemplate a life of missions overseas work, people say to me, why are you going over there to those heathen? There's white people here that need to hear about Jesus. Your life can be more value here than among that messy garbage. I'm telling you, people say this kind of stuff. Don't let that ever come out of your lips. Those quote-unquote heathen, that quote-unquote garbage is just as valuable as you.
Amen.
They're just as worthy to be reached as anybody in your backyard. Everyone is equal, and God's breaking into Peter's life to show him this. He wants him to have the love for people as he does for everyone. All right, we're going to move on. Finally, God is preparing people to obey. He's preparing Peter to say yes, to go. Look, y'all, God sends those who are willing to listen to His voice and obey. It's not about, look, the Great Commission, all right? Robbie said this to me the other day. He said, sometimes I think that everybody thinks, well, missions is a good thing. It's a good thing. But it's okay if I don't do it. Because, you know, it's a good thing for somebody else, but it's okay if I don't. Well, look here. The Great Commission was given to you. This is personal. This is, you are responsible to make disciples of all nations. This is for you. So what do you do with this? Look, we don't do missions because it's something we just enjoy. We do it first and foremost because God has said, be my witnesses to all the world. Amen. He's also preparing people who will step outside their comfort zone. Don't you think Peter was going to have a hard time going to the Gentiles? He had never been in the house of a Gentile. You know, when Jesus says, shake the dust off your feet, there was a law there, a Jewish law that talked about you could not even walk into Gentile territory and come back into Jewish territory without first taking the dust off your feet. Look, this guy had never been a part of anybody but his own little clan. And now God is saying, get up and go to somebody outside of your little comfort zone, outside of your little bubble. That's the work of God in you. It's the work of God when I see people respond to go on mission trips or surrender their life to missions like Kristen and Glenn. When they say, you know what? I don't know their language. Their culture is really strange to me. It smells funny there. They don't do things like we do. They don't have Chick-fil-A. And that really stinks. I can only talk to my family once a week or once a month. There's no place for me to take showers. This is a really strange thing. But look, God is at work in somebody's heart to move them beyond their comfort zone. This ain't about being comfortable, folks. It's about being obedient. It's about doing what God wants you to do. Letting go of previous assumptions that you have about the world. That's what Peter had to do. And then ultimately, obedience brings blessing. It brings blessing. The next thing that happens in the story, and I want you to go home and read it later, is that you have God, we've seen God preparing those who are willing to hear, God preparing those who are willing to go, and there comes this amazing moment of intersection, where Peter says yes, and Cornelius is ready. He brings his whole family, and they're all sitting there and waiting to hear what Peter has to say. And he says, speak. He's just sitting there. He's like, okay, we're here because God said to send for you. And Peter's like, well, I'm here because I'm supposed to say something to you. Well, let's just talk about Jesus, right? And so Peter does that. And there's this beautiful moment where God saves Cornelius. And he does it through the message of Jesus. God is at work today, folks, saving people all over this world. And you know how it happens? Talking about Jesus. You know, missionaries don't save people. Building houses don't save people. Being a good doctor in a foreign land doesn't save people. You know what saves people? Talking about Jesus. Saying Jesus is God. Your life was meant for God. There is no possibility for satisfaction outside of Him. And He wants to know you. He wants to know you so much. He loves you so much that He sent His only Son, Jesus, to die, to take the punishment for your sin, to forgive you, to offer you new life. Won't you trust Jesus today? Won't you give your life to Him? Won't you return to God? That's how people are saved, Glenn, Ted, Kristen. Go overseas and talk about Jesus. Those who are Guatemala, who are going with us, we're going to go over there. Guess what we're going to do? Talk about Jesus, right? But look, do you know how Cornelius was saved? It is Jesus. But somebody had to share. He had to go, didn't he? Cornelius, angels can't save people. Angels pointed Cornelius to Peter, who had the message of Jesus, and the message of Jesus saves. How is anybody in the world today going to be saved? There's this notion out there, y'all, that all religions lead to God. Let me just tell you, that is a lie. Only Jesus leads to God. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Philippians says, there is no other name under heaven by which man must be saved. It is only Jesus. All roads don't lead to the same God. Cornelius' religion didn't save him. He had to hear about Jesus. But how he heard was through the life of a missionary. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing the word of God. The word of God is preached through somebody who is willing to go. John heard the gospel, right? How did John hear? Because somebody was willing to go. Missions is a beautiful, beautiful thing. Our church loves to reach the nations for God. We love it. The question is, are you willing to be a part of what God is doing all over the world? In chapter 11, after Peter experiences this amazing account of Cornelius receiving the Holy Spirit through the gospel of Jesus, he goes back to Jerusalem and he begins to tell people, God is doing a work among the nations. And you see a couple of different responses there. Some people are critical. You're going to always have people who are critical of the idea of going to another place to reach people for Christ when it's still not finished here. You will always have that. Don't let that deter you. Don't be that person. You should love to see people reach in the nations. You have some people that are resistant. They just don't want to be a part of it. It's fine, but I'm not going to be a part of it. That's not what God wants from you either. You know what God wants from you? He wants you to embrace the call to go to the nations as much as He has embraced it in His person. He wants you to be a part of it. How can I be a part of this? Well, first, be informed. 42% of the world today has never heard the name of Jesus. 42%, folks. 42% of people. They don't have opportunity to know. Why? Because there's no church, there's no Christian in their immediate area. Well, how are they going to know? We need some Peter moments, don't we? Where God calls people to say, I'm willing to go. You know what? I don't know anything about anything other than Jesus. But I'm willing to go. I'll go be a doctor somewhere else. I'll go be a research person somewhere else. I'll go be a businessman somewhere else. I'll do it. Be informed. We need people to go. Short term, long term, all kinds of terms. We need people to go. We need people to send. We need people to pray. We need people to give. We need people to be excited about this thing called missions. Are you willing? I'm looking at you now. I'm asking you. Are you willing to say yes to God? I will be a part of what you're doing in all of the world. I will be a part of it, God. I will go. I will pray. I will give. There's some prayer cards out in the lobby today. Zach Saganik is awesome. And he made some cards. This beautiful map. It shows all the missionaries that we currently support today. 25% of every dollar that you give to Island Community Church goes out the door to support strategic missions outside of our church. Isn't that awesome? 25%. You can give to this church with excitement because you know that when you give, it's going to the nations. You can see where it's going with that map. There's also prayer cards out there that you can take. The top 100 most unreached people groups in the world are on those cards. And I encourage you to take one if you're willing to pray that people might hear the gospel. I encourage you to do that today. So let's just respond now. Robbie, you can come on up. And I want you to be broken over the reality that the nations need to hear about Jesus. And I want you to consider whether or not you will be a part of it. The greatest blessing in the world is being a part of what God is doing. It's the only thing that will last. It's the only thing that matters. How will you be a part of it? Everyone in this room should say yes today to something. Yes to more giving. Yes to more praying. Yes to going. Yes to sending. Yes to being excited. Yes to just embracing the brokenness of a lost world. Say yes today to God. And maybe you're here and you're like Cornelius. You have been seeking God, but yet you have never known Him. And you need to know Him. And you want to know Him. And you've heard the message today about Jesus. And that's what it takes to be saved. Look, just trust Jesus. Trust Him. Turn to Him. He wants to know you. Maybe that's you today. If that's you, I pray that you would surrender your life to Jesus. God is seeking you and you're seeking Him. This moment is now. Today is the day of salvation. Give your life to Him. Trust Him. He will make you new. Let's respond to the Lord. I'm here if you need me.